this morning, you know, we have a better sense of the kind of help that's on the way for struggling homeowners. But there are so many people up and down the country who, you know, John, are still on pins and needles about jobs. And among them, of course, are auto workers across the country who are wondering if their jobs will be the ones to go when GM and Chrysler decide which of its remaining plants are going to be closed. And one of the places where thousands of jobs are potentially on the line is Shreveport, Louisiana. And joining us from there is Cedric B. Glover. He's the mayor of Shreveport. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Give us a sense, Mayor, of you know, what's going through the minds of auto workers. I mean, obviously, no decision has been made yet. What's it like in Shreveport? What are people talking about, and what are your constituents saying to you?
Well, there's obviously a great deal of concern about what the future holds. Without question, there's uncertainty all around. These particular sets of circumstances are unprecedented, certainly in terms of Shreveport's automotive manufacturing history. And we're just all trying to figure out how it's going to sell itself out. There was news that came forth yesterday with the unveiling and detailing of the plan by both GM and Chrysler in terms of how they intend to move forward. That calls for, obviously, tens of thousands of more jobs to be lost, both here in the U.S. And abroad. At least five additional plants from the GM side are going to be shuttered. And I think in many respects, you've got what amounts to a version of bankruptcy that's just simply not being labeled as such. And I think that may be probably one of the best things that possibly could happen, because I think to actually label a process and have it actually constitute bankruptcy for either GM or Chrysler or Ford would be very crippling.
You've had a chance to speak to some of the constituents personally. I mean, who could potentially stand to, you know, who could lose their jobs, who are the most vulnerable? What kinds of things are they saying to you?
Well, you know, there are lots of folks who are just trying to figure out, in many respects, what the next phase of life for them holds. Where we are right now at this particular point in time with GM Shreveport is that it's gone from an all-time high of about 3,000 employees down to just around 1,000. And so this has been a gradual process for us, which is one of the things I think that's made it a bit less dampening of the local economy, and that it's just simply not an overnight shock for us. Many of the folks who are left right now as a part of GM Shreveport are folks who are 20, 25-plus year veterans. And so in many respects, they have retirements and what have you that they certainly hoped that will still be there for them once they do retire. So it's people who are trying to figure out where they transition. Do they stick around? Do they take the retirement packages that are being offered? And whether or not there's going to be an opportunity to be able to work another 5 or 10 years if they are so inclined. So that those are the primary questions that happen here right now.
One of the things, I guess, is that, you know, the plant in Shreveport manufactures the Hummer. I mean, in this day and age, that's got to be a tough thing to deal with. I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, without question, if you go back and take a look at it 3 years ago with the way, and it's not the Hummer 2, it's actually the Hummer 3. It was considered to be the version of the Hummer that would be a couple of things. One, environmentally more acceptable, and two, more affordable. And more energy efficient than either the Hummer 1, which is the huge military-like vehicle, or the Hummer 2, which is, you know, just a shade away from that. And certainly for the initial phases of its operation and manufacturing, the Hummer 3, it was a resounding success. And but that met up with the energy crisis of this past year. And the American buying public began to make different decisions that we and GM, I think, recognize can't just be seen as just a temporary fluctuation, but represent a need to fundamentally restructure and redirect the future of the company.
And, Mayor, you were born and raised in Shreveport, right?
Absolutely. Shreveport's my home.
And Shreveport has weathered storms like this in the past. Give us a sense of, you know, the spirit in that place and how people think that they might be able to bounce back. What other kinds of jobs could potentially be created if these jobs did go?
Well, Shreveport is an extremely resilient, optimistic place. We have dealt with similar types of challenges before, as you just mentioned. At one point in time, Shreveport was the home of an AT&T manufacturing operation, made telephones that employed somewhere in the neighborhood of close to 6,000 people. Obviously, we saw within the late 70s, early 80s, a great shift of that type of manufacturing from the U.S. To points around the globe, and we dealt with that. That particular shutdown and closure also happened to coincide with another phase of the turbulence within the energy sector. And so Shreveport's economy, Louisiana's economy for that matter, was largely based on the oil and gas industry. And so those two things put us in some tremendous economic doldrums in the early to mid-80s. The commitment was made by the collective leadership throughout this region to diversify our economy and try and put ourselves in a position so that if we were to have ups and downs in particular sectors, that we would not end up being stricken by one particular aspect of our local economy facing the types of challenges that we've had in the past. I think evidence of that diversity is represented in the fact that despite the fact that we are in the midst of great challenges with regard to GM Shreveport, our local sales tax numbers for the month of January were 4.8% above what they were for 2008 in January. So we've got challenges, we've got issues, and we are certainly going to fight to our last breath to protect and advance GM Shreveport, but we believe that we'll still be able to move forward and grow this economy.
All right, Cedric Biglover, the mayor of Shreveport, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Daldrick. Thank you, John. Pleasure to join you.
All right, down in Shreveport, diversify, that's the issue. But racial politics is the issue that we're talking about today. Attorney General Eric Holder, all day and online, said when it comes to race, America is still a nation of cowards. He made a speech yesterday. We're wondering what you've seen in your life that proves him right or wrong. Beth says on our website, I think Holder makes a valid assessment. We do self-segregate. Maybe it's not always based on race. It may be more socioeconomically based. People have generally been known to be afraid of the other. And how often do you talk about race? Race, she asks. Tell us your take about this at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org. If you're on our website, also look ahead to the Oscars. We're going to the red carpet with New York Times film blogger David Carr. What should he ask the stars? He needs help there on the red carpet. It's not something he's terribly comfortable with. What should he ask your favorite Oscar nominee? Vote on some questions and add your own by going to thetakeaway.org. We'll share your best questions with David Carr tomorrow on the air and online.
I'm Daljit Dhaliwal, and this is The Takeaway.